So good to see all the faces out here this evening. Did you come to sup with the Father? That's wonderful. How's God going to find you? That last song. Wasn't it a beautiful song? You know, I just put that together because I just felt like that we don't tell God how much we love him. We don't give him the attention that he really needs. And I thought they were such beautiful love songs to the Father. He loves us more than those songs say what he does. You know that, don't you? He loves you more than the breath he breathes. I think if more people would understand how much God loved them, we wouldn't have so many messed up people in the world. I've said that before, but I'll say that again. Because there's so much hate and discord and junk in the earth that it's hard to find anybody that can really believe that God loves them, that there is even love in the earth. But there is more love than you ever imagine. And God so desires to pour it out upon us. So just let him pour out his love upon you tonight. You know, quit thinking about anything negative. And, you know, it's every place you go, it's all you hear about people being sick with COVID. And you all you hear is just so much negativity. Let's just let God pour his love out over us tonight. I'm not God, so I don't have the answers of why things happen the way they do. I was thinking about that sitting there, but you know what? God knows all things. And we'll just let him go ahead and rule and reign from his kingdom, because we aren't doing a good job here on earth ourselves. So let's just let him do his job the way he needs to do it. And let's just go ahead and sacrifice whatever he asks us to sacrifice. And let's just be a light to a dark, dark world. We have Ryan here with us. And what's your son's name?
Brent.
Brent. We have Brent and Ryan here with us tonight. And I hope you guys get something out of the service. I hope it's good and not bad and indifferent. And I hope that during the praise and worship you are ministered to. How many know each one of us need to be ministered to at some point in a day? In a day. You know, every one of us go through our trials and our tribulations, our own Job experiences, and each one of us need to be ministered to, but we need love ministered to us. So why don't you be a vessel of love? Why don't you start being the one to minister love to somebody and not worry about what's going on in your life, but just minister love to somebody. I know if you don't know that you're loved, then it's hard to minister love, but just try it anyhow, you know. By faith, reach out and say, you know, God really does love you. And it just might change somebody's life by doing that. All right, so I'll just give this an example. I don't know why God's going here, but we're there, all right? You know, in my first marriage, it wasn't a good marriage, but I was always trying to make myself into something he would like. You know, a lot of you women do that. And I was in the drugstore, and I bought some false eyelashes. And I walked up to the counter, you know, with all the other stuff I had, and she looked at me, and she said, you don't need these, and I won't sell them to you. She said, you're beautiful just the way you are. I just started crying. You know, that changed my life, just her saying that to me, you know. And then from that point on, I started believing in who I was. And not trying to change myself so somebody else liked me. I liked myself. And I know I'm not the only one that's ever going through that. And I won't be the, you know, and there'll be people going through that until Jesus comes again. But love yourself. Like who you are. It was like God told me one time, I said, God, who am I? Who am I? And he said, I don't really know. You're trying to be everybody else. And he says, I don't know who you are. He said, why don't you try being yourself? So I want each one of you in here this evening, be yourself. Be who God made you. And you are beautiful. You're beautiful from the inside out. I don't care what people say to you. You're beautiful from the inside out. I lived 50 years believing and I never could be loved because that's what I was told all my life. You're ugly and nobody would ever love you. And then after I became born again, I found out I wasn't ugly at all. And I was lovable. God loved me. You know? Think about that. God loves you. Because he made you just like you are. He gave you your personality. He has a plan and a purpose for your life if you allow him to use you. The enemy wants to kill you, but God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Father, I just thank you tonight. I thank you for all the beautiful faces that are out here. And I know, God, with all my heart, that you want your people to know how much you love them and that they are lovable. So tonight, Father, I'm just asking you to allow the Holy Spirit to move throughout this church tonight and minister to your people. And Father God, whatever the enemy has sowed into their minds and their spirits, Father God, just rip it out right now. And let them learn the truth of who they are. Let them learn the truth of what you think of them, Father. And Father, we thank you for your son Jesus who died on the cross so that one day we could sit in heavenly places with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've always gone to church, all right, like a lot of you have. And when I was 50, somebody invited me to a Full Gospel Businessmen Association. And when that night was over, of course, they prayed for me because I was a new person. They said, now you're born again. All right, so I went around telling everybody, now I was born again. Well, God just laid upon my heart that a lot of people are like me. You didn't know what that meant. Somebody just told you, you're born again. So let's just look at what, some of you might already know it all, but that's all right. You can be taught again, all right? So let's just look at what this is all about, being born again. The term born again refers to a new beginning in our relationship with God. This new beginning takes place when we open ourselves up and allow the Holy Spirit to take control. Now, see, that's what happened to me that night. I've always gone to church, but that night at that Full Gospel Business meeting, they introduced the Holy Spirit to me, and I received everything they were saying, and I became born again. I had a new relationship with the Father. It was at that point in my life that I realized that God talked to me and I could talk to him. It was that point in my life that I just started believing everything that the Bible said was true, and I did it, and it worked. And see, too many people sit in the house of God, and they don't believe the Word to begin with, and they don't walk in faith and try out what the Word said, so they never experience anything with God. All right, it is only when the Holy Spirit comes and enters into our human spirit that you are truly born again. And the only way to be able to get the Holy Spirit to enter into your human spirit is to be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I had done all that, but I never knew about the Holy Spirit, all right? There is no other way into the kingdom of God. We either come through Jesus and the blood that he has personally shed for all of us on the cross, or we don't come through at all. Now, I know there's people sitting in this house today, you call yourself saved, but are you really? Have you really received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you really believe in the Holy Spirit? You know, as God had me put this together, I thought about the churches who just say there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit. And they won't let the Spirit of God move. Where are they going to end up at? You'll find out as we go ahead and teach this, all right? In John chapter 3, verse 1 said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus was the first one to be born again. He was baptized in the Jordan River, after which God anointed or baptized him with the Holy Spirit. So he was the first one to be born again. Now John, he was a forerunner, and he was preparing the way of the Lord. God's told me that we are the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was the first forerunner, preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. And Matthew 3, verse 1 said, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist came saying, repent. Jesus comes saying, repent. The disciples came saying, repent. And the church is supposed to be saying, repent. All right? For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. See, they were being baptized, and they were confessing their sins. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So when you get baptized, it's for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. So when Jesus came, he didn't come baptizing. He came and gave you the Holy Spirit. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And Matthew 3:13 says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to John, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, when we do baptisms at our pool, at our house, we always, first of all, pray and fast before the day of baptism happens, and then we instruct the people before we baptize them that they are going to be baptized, you know, for the remission of sins, but also to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every time we baptize somebody, they always come up out of the water, out in the Spirit. And we've had great testimonies of what people have seen when they come up out of that water. So they were baptized for repentance, but then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to understand that Jesus never baptized anyone. In John 4, 1 and 2, Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard the report that he was making and baptizing more followers than John. But really, Jesus himself did not baptize anyone. His followers baptized people for him. Jesus didn't baptize anybody in water. He was supposed to come with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right? In Matthew 28:19, go therefore, Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people said you shouldn't baptize them that way. There's another place where Jesus says, go and baptize them in the name of Jesus. Or it wasn't Jesus, it was one of the disciples. So people lean on that instead of baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Jesus said that's how it's supposed to be done. Let's look at Luke 1:41. I want you to notice something here. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting. Now, who was Elizabeth? She was Mary's cousin, wasn't she? Cousin. She was Mary's cousin. Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist at the same time. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. You know, John the Baptist was inside. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When they heard Mary speak, immediately John the Baptist, who was in the womb, jumped. He leaped. He was full of the Spirit. And immediately then Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. And every time you're filled with the Spirit, if you notice, you should read the scriptures, you always prophesy. All right. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, why is Mary going to Elizabeth? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. There's many people that are baptized in their mother's wombs. If truth were known, some of your big evangelists or big pastors who have the anointing were already baptized in their mother's wombs, and they came out fully baptized in the Spirit. And Luke 1:66 says, and all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, see, whenever they got around Mary, then they were filled with the Spirit also. And this is what you should do. You should be so full of the Spirit that when you get around people, the Spirit should leap onto them. And John 16:7 says, nevertheless, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. The Helper is the Holy Spirit. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. See, this is why people don't get convicted when you're out there ministering. Do you have the Holy Spirit to its fullness inside of you, where that Holy Spirit will convict them? Now, when I used to evangelize, when I'd walk into the room, people would run to me and cry and want to be saved. Why did they do that? Because the Holy Spirit was strong within me, and it was the Holy Spirit that drew them to me, the Jesus in me, and we had to say the sinner's prayer, and they were saved. Now, do you have that? Do you have the Spirit inside of you to that extent that when you get around anybody, they start weeping and they want to get saved? I want you to think about this, all right? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit's going to do those three things. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, and he will tell you of things that are going to happen in your life. This is why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so he can continually talk to you and reveal things to you about yourself, and also about your family, your friends, the church. Because that's what God wants him to do. Verse 14 says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, see, what you really need is the Holy Spirit. You just don't need to sit in a church and get saved. What you really need is the Holy Spirit inside of you. And when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the enemy will not be able to fool you. Because the Holy Spirit revealed to you, hey, this is not of the Father, this is of the enemy, and then he will keep you from falling into the pits that you fall into so easily. All right, once you get saved and then fully surrender your entire life over to the Lord so that he can fully guide you into his divine destiny for your life, you will then be given a brand new and different life from the old life that you had been living in. Once you enter into God's perfect plan and destiny for your life, you will then find out what you were really created to be in this life. In 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, are you still the same as you were the day you said you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or has all that disappeared and now you're a new person? You don't think the way you used to think. Because the Holy Spirit won't let you think the way you used to think. He will stop you in your tracks. Notice that you have to be in Christ before you can be given this brand new life. And the only way to be in Christ is to become a born-again believer, truly repent of your sins. Unbelievers are not in Christ, and as a result, they are all living in dead and fruitless lives. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, this is after Jesus was killed on the cross, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Before he left, he gave them peace. Then when he showed himself, he said he gave them peace. When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." In other words, he was sending the disciples out to do the works he was doing. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, the disciples ministered with Jesus those 3 years, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Just Jesus was. And now Jesus just breathed on them. Every time I see Aaron minister, he goes, pff, pff. I was thinking to myself, is he trying to give them the Holy Spirit? Is he breathing? I know, I don't think he is, but that always comes to my mind because Jesus did breathe upon them. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, he says, "Do not quench the Spirit." In Ephesians 4:30, says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now let's stop there. The reason why God withdrew his Holy Spirit from the church about 20 years ago, he told me they were grieving the Holy Spirit. He was grieved because of the way they were treating the Holy Spirit. They were walking over the Holy Spirit, and he was not going to allow that to happen. And it says here, "Do not quench the Spirit and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So the Holy Spirit sealed you. As a result of this new rebirth and regeneration in the Lord, we now have a new restored relationship with the Lord. Because, I mean, after all, when you're just saved, I'm quite sure you didn't start talking to Jesus because you didn't know to talk. Maybe you did, but you didn't. Most people didn't know to talk to Jesus. They didn't know he would talk to them. And so they were just saved and went to church and just sat there, let the preacher tell them whatever he wanted to teach them. But when you become born again, you know, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, then you're born again, and then you hear what God is saying in heaven, and your whole life changes. With the Holy Spirit now residing in our human spirits, we now have God's divine life, power, and abilities flowing and operating through us to help us, overcome different types of temptations, pull out of any sins that we may have fallen into, the power to defeat Satan and all of his demons, the power to be able to be truly sanctified in the Lord, the power to be able to fully serve the Lord in whatever he will be calling us to do for him in this life. See, if you just really get saved, and really get the Holy Spirit, you won't have all these demons running through your mind, will, and emotion, and you won't be tempted all the time to do this dumb stuff that the world does. And I'm not judging anybody, and I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying the reason why the church is messed up is because we really are not full of the Holy Spirit, and we don't have anybody in there to help us. Didn't Jesus call him the helper? He would lead, guide, and direct us. When I first got born again, I wanted to go away to Bible college like everybody does. And God said, "No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to be caught up in man's doctrine." He said, "My Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And everything I know is because God, the Holy Spirit, has taught me. I didn't get it out of a book." Are you understanding this? And see, that's why the church is so indoctrinated with stuff that isn't even godly. And this is why the church is messed up. I believe that many Christians are totally unaware of all of the above benefits and blessings as a result of not fully realizing who they really are in Christ and exactly what they have in immediately available to them as a result of the Holy Spirit now living on the inside of them. Many Christians are living defeated, joyless, and unproductive lives in the Lord. You can have demons in you and still get the Holy Spirit. And then once you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you'll be able to fight these demons. Yeah, and you'll be able to take control of them and make them leave, and you'll be able to live a good, productive life. If you really step back and objectively look at the big picture, each Christian only has one of two roads they can take in this life. We can either choose to believe that we really are brand new creations in Christ, that God the Father has a perfect plan and destiny set up for each one of our lives, and that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of us, can give us the grace, power, ability, and means to perfectly complete and fulfill that divine destiny. Or we can choose not to believe and realize who we really are in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and choose to live this life only seeking after our own ways, our own interests, and our own desires, thereby completely ignoring God and the call that He wants to personally place on each one of our lives. You can believe either way. The choice is now yours as to which road you will choose to travel on in this life. See, you have a choice. You don't have to live, you know, defeated. You don't have to live by demons ruling your mind, your will, and your emotions. I mean, it is a battle, constant battle, to stay free. But the Word of God says He's made a way of escape in every temptation. And, you know, this mind does not belong to the enemy. It belongs to God. And if your mind's going crazy, then you need to say, no, I have the mind of Christ. And Satan, you're not going to get into my mind and mess me up. I have to fight battles every day. And if you don't, thank God that you're so perfected that you don't have to do that. But every true child of God is going to be fought, because the enemy wants to destroy you. He does not want you to win any battle, because he knows once you realize who you really are in Christ, he's done. He's done. The choice is now, I'm sorry. How is a person born again? We need baptism in water followed by baptism with the Holy Spirit. But now, I also read this morning early, where I think it's in Acts, where, you know, somebody was preaching, I think it was Peter, and all of a sudden, all the, you know, the Gentiles were there. All of a sudden, you know, they start speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit dropped on them. And then Peter said, surely somebody has water where we can baptize these people in water. So first of all, they received the Holy Spirit. Then they were baptized in water. All right. So you might have the Holy Spirit and still need to be baptized in water, because without the boat, you cannot go to heaven. Why is a person born again? Jesus said in John 3:3, unless anyone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be baptized in water, and then you have to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. In Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm going to tell you right now, if you truly have the Holy Spirit in you, people will know it. I went to a funeral of my aunt, and when I walked in the funeral home, it was at night, and it was sort of dark, you know how they dim the lights, and everybody got real quiet and said, who just entered the room? And I looked around, you know, and I found my father, so I started walking towards him, and he said, it's my daughter. And they said, it can't be. They called me Jimmy. It can't be Jimmy. Who entered the room? So what happened was, when I entered the room, the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit entered the room. Are you understanding this? And this is what each one of you should have. You should have the Holy Spirit to that fullness, that when you enter a room, they'll know that somebody else has come into the room besides you. The other night we were here in service, and you know, God was really working with the people, and I was walking back there, and this is Teresa's song, but I started singing. I heard that song, Look Who Just Walked In. Yeah, I don't know the rest of the song, but that's, I just heard, Look Who Just Walked In, and it was God telling me He was here, and He was laughing, and I just had to sit down and laugh to myself, because Teresa loves that song. It is a good song. But isn't that awesome? See, this is what God wants to do to you. You know, the devil wants to take you and bind you up, and he wants to destroy you. But God, he wants to bring new life into you. He wants to breathe his breath into you, and he wants you to be changed into a brand new person. So are you guys really ready to receive the Holy Spirit in the fullness, where people will know that somebody else walked in that room with you? Yeah, about 2 months ago, somebody was in here, and I forgot what I taught on that day, but I gave the altar call, and they got up, run. One of them got up, run to me, crying, and they said, "I need Jesus." You know, and they just went down. I said, "All right." They just went down their knees, and I prayed with them. But see, they didn't run to the altar, is what I'm getting at. They ran to me. They ran to the anointing. They ran to Jesus because they knew that they felt the power there after I had preached. So do people run to you? You know, not you personally. We never take the honor away from God. It's God. It's the God in you. But do people really run to you? Do they really feel the Holy Spirit in you? Do they know there's something different about you? Why don't people, some people love me when they don't want to, and other people hate me, but yet they have to like me. Why is it? It's because of the anointing that's inside. They don't understand why they like me. It's not me they're liking. It's the Jesus that's in the inside of me. They can just say anything they want to about me, but they can't take the Jesus out of me. Now, how many of you would like to be like that? Yes. Come on up front, Ryan.